Hi, and welcome to Detox, Talks the Detox, a podcast where we talk to some of the world's finest leaders about their detox rituals and how they maintain continuity in a world of noise and chaos. How they make sure that the criticism that the world puts on them doesn't affect their insight and they still continue to perform as well as they do. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kunal Sundiramani, and you are listening to Detox, Talks the Detox.
We have Patrick Kilpatrick on the podcast. Patrick is a legend, done over 100 films, one of the most familiar faces in Hollywood, and just an incredible person. Thank you for taking out the time.
Thank you for having me.
What's your journey been like?
Well, I'm very blessed because I call it curse of a liberal education. Because my parents were really behind education and they fostered vocabulary and literature and things like that. I saw that I got really great schooling. I came out of it with a literary bent, but I was also an athlete. And so I find myself in a world where, as the head of a film company, I'm acting, writing, directing, producing, financing, economic modeling, casting. The downside of that is I've created work in every direction. And so you have to be very good at delegating and having a great team. And at the same time, there's a diversity and a variety of activity that is endlessly stimulating. You know, one moment I'm working on a script and another moment I'm launching another movie and another moment I'm acting and playing a sheriff in a film. And the next one I'm doing some political work, having run for governor of California. And I'm very grateful for when I wake up in the morning that there's a large tapestry of activities that I can be involved in, you know, and I've live long enough to have grandchildren and wonderful sons and their wonderful wives and girlfriends. And so there's an expanding tribe, very blessed to participate in. And they're all unique, extraordinary people, and sometimes to the extreme, which is I revel in. You know, the way people come out of the womb is so individual, and they're accomplished people. And so I'm very lucky. You know, we're launching a movie right now that I wrote, directed, and produced and starring in called Dying for Living. We're launching the Kickstarter campaign the day before Valentine's Day. It's a great project. 10 action icons along with me in the film. Chuck Liddell, Costas Mandalore, Nina Bergman. Absolutely. Some of these people, if you don't know their names, check them out. Nina Bergman, incredible combination of action prowess, beauty, and great actress. Tatiana Neva, the same. Cynthia Rothrock, the queen of mixed martial arts. Olivia Gruner, a French martial arts sensation and a real life French commando. I've starred in a number of movies with him. Hegan Machado, who's 8-time world jiu-jitsu champion and has an 8-degree black belt. They call him the Gracie killer because he was from the Machados and the Gracies are pivotal figures in the world of jiu-jitsu. The Wall twins, 2 14-year-old, charming, utterly charming beauties. They're great action performers and actors themselves. My son, Sam, is in the cast introducing him. And the very handsome Dutch actor and entrepreneur, Wesley Adema. So, and we've got some surprises in there coming with some top name athletes and actors coming into the mix. It's almost inaccurate for me to say that I'm directing or producing or writing or starring in a movie because everybody on the team is making it happen. I mean, my wife Heidi is a wonderful writer and a great force in everything we do. Raffaello's great graphics who works with me. Maria, my assistant, they all participate and they're all Jeff Snyder, they're great up in Oregon. Our production team, Stefan Colson and Art Camacho. Art Camacho is the director himself, and he's doing all of our stunt coordinating. Stefan, since we shot the first 2 weeks of the movie, has now begun directing three. He's got a 3-picture deal. So Jacob Bressler, the line producer, I'm being wordy, but really these people are the reason the movie is coming into being.
What's been some of the rougher patches of your journey, things that weren't very good but ended up becoming great?
Well, there are a lot of them. At 17, I broke my back in a car accident really badly, kind of put the end to athletics for a long time. Outwardly, that looks like a bad event, but it was a blessing because I became a writer. I already had a literary bent, but I became a writer professionally. And I got into healing modalities so that when I got my way to acting, I had the body of an athlete again and the ability to put myself back together. And I had the mind of a writer. So that's a great combination for acting. Every actor has slow down times. It's how you react to that. I've been through several strikes, several worldwide recession events. And what you do in that time is really the definition of you as a person. We just went through COVID. We didn't stop a moment while COVID was going on. I was very blessed. I got some screenwriting assignments, but we built our company to a whole new level during the time COVID. I lost a couple of films as an actor, but that's not important. What was important was I got to spend a lot of romantic time with my wife and creative time with my wife. And I was able to work with people remotely. I started a free acting class just to help out, and it became a real moneymaker, client builder. And we came out of it with projects ready to roll. You know, we had to stop filming Dying for Living because we ran out of money. And I'm not talking crazy over budgets or anything, but we just ran out of money because I'm very devoted to the quality of everything we're doing. Well, that may seem like a bad thing, but the script got better. We added Cynthia Rothrock and Nina Bergman and Chuck Liddell to the cast. I went around for several months learning the ins and outs of distribution. And by the way, I've been consulting on distribution prior to that, but I sure learned even more. And I learned the ins and outs of presentations of financing and things like that. Talking to financial people, what interests them, going around the country, talking to people, setting up the platform for all of our slates of films. So the downtimes are more important sometimes than the acting or the directing or the producing. I know a lot of people came out of COVID going, oh, wow, that really shot me down. But it's how they reacted to it. I talked to a guy yesterday. He went into reality TV because all of his features went down. And he's got like a library of 60 reality shows now. Very engaging guy. We may collaborate on something. So there are no negative events. There are only God's pivots.
What about, like, not in retrospect, when things go wrong in the moment?
Not always easy to be a graceful human being in that regard. But if you live through a thing, a first week of a production where you're writing, directing, producing, and acting, and you get a massage in the morning and the call time is at 12, and 10 minutes after you get there, there are so many decisions to be made that it's like you never got the massage. Guess what? You learn to function with grace and good spirit because nothing destroys a production faster than negativity. And so I strive to be as graceful as I possibly can in very, very challenging time. There's such an expression of grace under fire. Some people are in combat and they are completely present, completely directing what they have to do. And that's a discipline and a choice that you have to make. I think taking a deep breath and realizing, listen to people, hear them out, let everybody have their place in what you're doing, then you're in much better shape as a leader. It's a collaboration anyway. Movies don't get made. Scripts don't occur without a large number of people generally being involved in things. Quentin Tarantino, I guarantee you, has a group of people that have elevated him in his process. You know, it's a nice idea to be the Lone Ranger. And to some extent, acting is more like that. You prepare, but you also have scene partners that you're rehearsing with and things like that. So I can operate alone But largely, you can't do movies that way. If something is a negative situation, there are a lot of techniques. You count to 10, you breathe, you extract yourself from that situation if it's negative. Remaining of good spirit is really, really important, no matter what's going on. You know, we all have to deal with rejection on a lot of levels. I'm usually on to the next thing so fast that I don't even embrace the negativity even for a moment. Destiny is taking care of us all in the way that we're supposed to be taken care of. If something comes on the horizon that looks negative, of course I'm going to address it with every ounce of my being, as the fiber of my being. That doesn't mean, I think we all belong in the moment where we are. Life is too short to spend a lot of time in a negative state. I mean, I find when I wake up in the morning, I am sometimes, you know, things are turning in my head and there's a little bit of concern there. What's the solution? You get up and you begin doing stuff and do it in the best way that you possibly can. Let's take a wounded warrior. He's lost two limbs. He's burned 85% of his body in an IED explosion. Some guys get that thing and they're doing stand-up comedy 6 months later. Or they're working for the Defense Department because they want to get back in the fight and help their brother. Some guys lose a limb and 6 months later, they're in active combat. Other guys lose a limb and they're cast into depression for 2 years. It's all how you receive the event. One of my purposes is to use people like that in films in such a way that they are look back on their quote-unquote negative event and say, if I hadn't had that happen, I wouldn't be here making this great film with Patrick Kilpatrick.
Go into the moment for a minute. Right now, you're sitting on this recording and you get a call. Patrick, something went wrong. What would you do?
My first instinct would be, look, that would be a hard one if someone called you and said something had happened to one of your children or something like that. But you have to even confront a reality like that, that there is a plan for destiny in the universe for that. Look at the guy who founded America's Most Wanted. He lost his six-year-old child. And how did he react to that? He started America's Most Wanted. And he put a lot of very confused and very evil people behind bars out of the energy of having lost his young son. So, look, there's an expression in real estate, houses don't bleed, you know, so you don't have to worry about if you lose a sale as a real estate person. The same thing is true. Movies don't bleed. If something goes wrong in a movie, and I'm talking about somebody not getting hurt, it's not somebody getting hurt or something like that, then it's just an opportunity for creative challenge. You have people, you know, you've got a lead actor and the day you're about to shoot, they get COVID. What does that mean? That means somebody else is supposed to play that part. That means you're supposed to go to work creatively. Maybe you're doing a project and all of a sudden you find yourself head to head. You're halfway through the development of a project and you find yourself head to head with a project that's already up. Well, guess what? All your work didn't go to waste. You immediately turn on the creative juices and figure out how to write your way creatively out of that competition. And it's happened a couple of times in my career. Guess what? We ended up with a better project. What choice do we have, Kunim? Should we be optimists? Should we be pessimists? What choice?
That's this beautiful line. I think George Bernard Shaw, I'm going to paraphrase the line. Pessimists are usually right, but optimists change the world.
Well, I think he's correct. My first thought is that's meant to be, and God and destiny have a plan for this that's much greater than that particular studio.
Another thing, something I'd really like to talk to people about, is in life we have these moments called it's all over moments. What were those for you, like when you're like, it's all over?
It happens to a lot of people. I mean, think of all those refugees from World War II or a lot of things. It's not over till it's over. There's a lot of authors who have lost. I think Aldous Huxley lost an entire book. You know, that's not the end all to be all. You know, my grandfather lost his first wife and his two children in the influenza epidemic of 1912. His entire family. Roy Orbison lost two sons and his wife in a fire. Do you get over that? I don't know if you get over it, but you go on. And he created some of the greatest music in the history of mankind. My grandfather married my grandmother and was resulted in my birth down the line. So great tragedy is part of life. I'm very lucky. Not a lot of great tragedy has been visited on my life. But if it was to be, it's part of life. And we have to go forth in a way that doesn't mean you don't feel it. Doesn't mean you don't gather yourself. But look, take it to war. Okay, here's a hill. The hill has to be taken. You go around, you do whatever you do. People die taking the hill. Doesn't mean the beat doesn't go on. People on Broadway, their parents are killed in a car crash and they go up on Broadway. I was talking to a girl the other day who wanted a job here. Okay. None of this is to say not to be understanding to people, but she wanted a job here. So she had called me as she graduated from the University of Texas in communication. And she, I replied back. She seemed qualified. And then I never heard from her for about a month and a half. She calls me up and she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. My aunt died." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Madam, I come from a culture where people's parents die in a flaming car crash. And that night they go on Broadway because the show must go on. The fact that your aunt died is terrible, but be with that in the future because you're not a professional. You're it's just an excuse. You know, if one of my children died tomorrow, I would make sure that the film company moved forward as I did what I was supposed to do. Now, God forbid anything like that ever happens, and some of us are uniquely equipped to function that way. But look, life goes on, and you have to fulfill your responsibilities no matter what they are. And I'm not an overly hard guy. Listen, I cry watching movies all the time. Mm-hmm. I got emotional yesterday several times just out of gratitude to the people who are calling in and supporting our Kickstarter campaign. So it's not that I'm not without feeling, but I also lost a couple of people that said, "Oh, I just can't commit to anything right now." Okay. Am I supposed to feel depressed about that? No, you just move on. My first reaction is positive. My first reaction is, okay, I'm still your brother in arms. It doesn't matter.
Earlier in your career, like before you had the insight of looking at situations this way, what were those moments where you were like, okay, no, this is it. This is the last. And then you just came out of it. But like when you were in it, it was like, this is it. But you just walked out.
I'm wondering if I was ever like what you described. My earliest heroes were literary heroes and writers. And they lived life to the full. You know, some of them were criminals and some of them were, I'm not saying I'm a criminal, but I'm not a criminal. By any, I take integrity and honesty to the max, to extremes, but they were people that gobbled up life. And you can't gobble up life if you're going to spend a lot of. Now, you should experience melancholy and you should experience down feelings too, because all of that is part of life too. But I've gone into an audition and the casting person says, "That's the greatest audition I've seen in my career as a casting person in 25 years. I didn't get that part." So do I worry about that? No, I'm out the door and I'm writing a script. I'm gone. Even when I wasn't a writer, I was just like, you can't control that aspect of it. The universe controls that.
There are no it's all over moments. I love it. Perfect. Moving to the final part, the rapid fire round. Apples or oranges?
Oranges.
Apple or Microsoft?
I'm a member of the Apple cult.
iPhone or Android?
I'm a member of the iPhone.
Your favorite movie?
Spartacus, Saving Private Ryan is right up there. 300 is right up there. I think 300 tells you everything there is to know about manhood and womanhood and that kind of thing.
One piece of advice that people throw around a lot, but you don't agree with.
Be practical.
And one piece of advice that is not given as often, but should be.
Enjoy every moment.
One person you're grateful for.
Wife and sons.
Your favorite city.
Cartagena, Colombia.
Your favorite artist.
Van Gogh.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking your time. It was an honor to host you.
Thank you, man. You're awesome.
You just heard an episode on the Detox Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, whether it is Spotify or iTunes. We are there.